Well, I've never seen such faith in a congregation entrusted by their minister to sing without the words and without music, well, the help of the organ, of course, but there were always a few that stood out and got the hymn out loud and clear. And I was watching some people's lips. Were they really on the words? And the vast majority were. Very, very well done. I'm absolutely impressed. I've never seen that done before. Well, here we are on the Thursday evening. We come tonight to the message on the cross as we deal with evangelism, as we seek to be evangelists, and that applies to each and to every one of us. The moment that you've been to the cross, the moment that you've bowed the knee and called upon the Lord to be your Savior, and you've experienced the blood of Jesus cleansing you, from that moment, you're an evangelist. You are a messenger of the cross. This word evangelism comes from evangel. The Greek term is really just the same, but it means the message. The message. We are messengers. It's the same word for angel, by the way. Message and angel are the same in the Greek New Testament. And so we're all messengers, and we get that message out in various ways by the life we live, the things that we say no to, and the things that we agree to participate in. We get that message out by work and by word. And this gospel is to be preached. It is to be communicated by word. Some people say, well, my evangelism is my life. That's good. That's good. If your life speaks well for the Lord, that's a tremendous thing. And never underestimate the power of your own personal testimony as others observe your life. That's a tremendous power. And that lays the foundation so that when you do speak, then it comes with meaning and genuineness. And that's what people need. They need the genuineness. And I trust that tonight the Lord will help us to get to that place, that when we give out a gospel tract or as we talk to someone about the Savior, that from our lives there is the genuine communication of the love of the Lord Jesus. We've been asking this week, how do you get that love? And of course, it's at the feet of the Lord. And we must have His love burning in our own hearts before we can tell any other of that love of the Savior. Tonight we're going to read from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and we're going to look at the latter half of the chapter. We'll begin to read at verse 10, Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Again, let's stand, please, just for a brief prayer. Oh, Father, we thank thee tonight that we come again to learn from your word and from the gospel itself how to tell the old, old story that, praise God, we know so well and has done so much for our own souls. And surely we will never cease to praise thee for redeeming us, for sending your Son to take our curse upon his own body and to stand in our place condemned that we might be free. We thank thee tonight for this good news gospel. And I pray that thou wilt indeed equip us to be messengers of the cross where'er we go. We pray for our families this evening. Lord, grant us the joy of leading loved ones to the Savior, brothers, sisters, parents, or children. Lord, they are precious and they need to be saved. And we pray that this congregation will know great victory in households to see the lost brought in. We pray for the community, for the farming community in the town of Macrofelt. We pray, O Lord, for those that perhaps have been talked to before and invited before, but oh, that with a new zeal and a new energy, that they may be reached afresh. We pray, our Father, that you will continue to make this a soul-saving center, that many will be born of God. And, O Lord, that you will equip us to do the work of the evangelist. We ask this tonight. Send us the Holy Spirit to fit us and fill us. We pray earnestly in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. I think you'll understand that tonight we're going to be looking at this verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. God forbid that I should be bragging or boasting or trying to promote anything else than the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what has it done? It has crucified the world to me and me to the world. It has brought me out of that state of guilt and condemnation, out of the world, into a whole new life. Life in Christ Jesus, and praise God, life that gives us the sweet and blessed assurance of eternal life, life with God in heaven. Now tonight our task is to handle the cross as evangelists. And I want to set before you the direct connection, the absolute essential of boasting, telling the story of the cross, and salvation. Herbert Lockyer, who died in 1984, wrote an article for a British Christian magazine, and he told the story of a drug addict in Glasgow. And he was consigned there time and time again. And each time he would return home to his godly mother, and she would plead with him to give up the alcohol and the old ways of life. She said to him this time, "Son, sign the pledge. Sign the pledge." And he refused. And he said, "I have signed it before, and I will never sign it again, because nothing has the power to change my life." His mother, hurting in heart, she took a knife and she drew blood from her wrist. And she dipped the pen in the blood of her own arm. And she said to her son, sign the pledge, you never know, it will do you good. Herbert Locker said it was sometime later that he stood and listened to that very man tell the story of the blood of Jesus, how it changed his life, what the power of his mother's blood could not do. The blood of Jesus changed his life. About a year ago, a radio listener from Vancouver, he told me that he was 67 years old, and 2 years before, he was delivered from drugs, and it was the power of God. He said that he was now a regular listener, and he wanted the freedom to call me from time to time, as he still felt that he was a new believer and needed encouragement in his new found faith. Another man in our Cloverdale church outside Vancouver came to our church with a beaming face from the very first Sunday he walked in the door. Another radio listener. And as I came to know his own story, he had been a terrible alcoholic and drug addict. He was a longshoreman. He was earning so much money, he didn't know what to do with it. And he ended up in drugs. But God saved him. Just a few months ago, he suddenly died and went into eternity. But he was in prayer meetings, and he was a happy man, changed. And he told me, not by recovery rehab centers or anything, but by the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so I'm here tonight to tell you that in the 21st century, the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. But there is this direct link between a man's conversion and the very heart of the death of Christ on the cross. It's not enough to know about Jesus as the man of Galilee. And it's not enough to look to him through the ills of life as a helper. Somebody, and many do look upon the Lord more as a crutch. In those times of life when things are difficult, they may cite his name or ask in his name as a helper. And it's not enough to look for him for ethics, for right and wrong, as an example only. Those views and those relationships with the Lord will never change a life. It is his cross. It is his death and the power of his death. Dr. Paisley often preached, Christ died, that's history. Christ died for us, that's the gospel. And as he alone could do, would launch out from there to tell how Christ on that cross took the iniquity of his people and got the victory for every one of his elect. And so tonight we come to the purpose of the cross. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. So what is it? What is it to tell about the grace, the victory, the power that is in the cross, in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus? And this has to be the core of our evangelism. Well, let's go to this text and look at it carefully here. We read in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory. The cross gives to sinners a new worship. God forbid, never let it be. Paul was conscious that he must guard God's honor in preaching the gospel. God forbid that we would stray, launch out in any other direction. We must keep to the cross, and because it is all about God's glory. God gets glory to his name in the preaching and in the power of the cross. Above every other work of God, the cross reveals God's amazing mercy. The cross of Calvary declares the kind of God whom we worship. He's not only powerful, he's not only holy, he is full of mercy. He is a God of infinite grace. What other religion can say such a thing, that their God is full of mercy? Think of Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There, in the delivering up of the Lord Jesus to the cross, in that sentencing of God's Son on the tree at Calvary, God freely brings into the lives of his people the fullness of the blessing of salvation. Who is a pardoning God like thee? And as evangelists, that's our wonderful message. We have a God who delights to pardon. And the proof of it is the story of the cross. And of course, that's the message that we are called to convey and to teach. And so it gives us this new worship, this new way of exalting the Lord unto men. Now, the cross then is truly the starting point. It is the place where we must begin. I wouldn't advise on Saturday morning, as you go out with the message of the gospel, that you walk up to the first door, knock it, and get an answer and say, "Did you know that you're going to hell? Did you know that you're depraved from head to toe? Did you know that you are a lost sinner and will never be in heaven unless you're converted?" No, the opening statement ought to be, "I want to tell you about the Savior who died in our place." We start at the cross. We talk about God's marvelous plan, sending his Son, and all that he accomplished by his dying on that tree in the place of his people. And that's our starting point, and it defines the God whom we serve and whom we follow. I think on a person coming into the church for the very first time, and we sing the hymn, "At the Cross, at the Cross." What a wonderful, wonderful introduction to a sinner that needs the Savior. And as he hears the story of Calvary, his heart, by the Spirit of God, can be opened and renewed and led to faith in the Lord Jesus. So we glory in the cross. And God forbid that we should glory in anything else. That is our primary message. Now, the purpose of the cross, of course, is to give sinners a new walk, a whole new walk. If you read on down these verses, you'll find there in verse 16, "As many as walk according to this rule." Now, if you take a moment to look at verse 15, you will see Paul's conclusion was that circumcision is really indifferent. Doesn't matter if you're circumcised, if you're not circumcised. If you choose to be or you don't choose to be. The important thing is the cross. And as many as walk according to this rule. And that was the rule that the apostle referred to. And the believer in Christ must minister and set forth the wonderful message of the cross. Because without getting to the cross, there's no power. There's no resurrection power. And as our Lord Jesus had to die and descend into that grave for 3 days and three nights and rise again, as we live the Christian life, as we take the gospel to sinners, we start at the cross. And God will grant us his amazing and wonderful power. Now, the cross will also give sinners a new witness. So we have a new worship, a new walk, and a new witness. We are to glory or to boast in the cross. Now, how are you to begin as an evangelist of the cross? How can you do this? Well, you need a total commitment to the message of the cross as the true gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, just think that in Canada, there are some 36 million people, probably a little more now, but a recent statistic was 36 million people. That's 36,000 thousands. And according to a report, approximately 779 people die in Canada every day. That is one death every 1.9 seconds. In the time that you can count one, two, another Canadian soul has gone out into eternity. And therefore, the work of preaching the gospel is urgent. The Lord has sent us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How can you do this? Well, start preaching the cross to yourself. To get a gospel mind. That's what preachers do. They preach to themselves. Sometimes they're driving along in the car, preaching to themselves. Sometimes they're out walking in a field, preaching to themselves. And by this means, we get this gospel into our very heart and minds. We're also to rest in the work of the cross. As your hope, and of course as the hope of your family and friends in a world of death. Pray for the power of the cross in your own soul. And of course, we're also called to support every effort to declare the gospel within our own spheres of influence. Whatever door of opportunity may open, let us get involved in that very work. Dr. Chamberlain, one of the oldest missionaries in India, he says that one day while he was preaching in Benares, among the devotees came to bathe in the sacred stream. It was a man who had journeyed wearily on his knees and elbows from a great distance, with the pain of conviction in his heart. And he had hoped that by washing in the Ganges to be relieved of his looking for judgment, that he could find relief. Poor soul, he dragged himself to the river's edge, made his prayer to his God, and crept in. A moment later, he emerged with the old pain still tugging at his heart. He lay prostrate on the bank in despair and heard the voice of the missionary. He raised himself and crawled a little nearer. He listened to the simple story of the cross. He was hungry and thirsty for it. He rose upon his knees, then upon his feet, then clapped his hands and cried, "That's what I want. That's what I want. The story of the cross is what our dying world needs tonight." And so we need to learn how to expound the cross. We need ministries that will expose the false crosses by preaching the true cross. We don't use symbols of the cross. That is not our Lord Jesus hanging on some crucifix as a model made by some hands. People attach different ideas to symbols. The best way to expose false crosses is to preach the fullness and the meaning of the true cross. Now in Romans 10:17, we are told that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so people need a biblical presentation of the death of the Lord Jesus. Now I want to set before you just a couple of ways that we can do that. First of all, that Jesus died as a sacrifice, offering himself as a lamb for sinners. Now, in a church like this where you hear the gospel week by week, that may seem like a very simple, basic concept. But the average person around us hasn't a clue. When they hear the name of Jesus, he's a stranger. They have no idea. When they hear that he's a lamb, it doesn't really sink. They need to know that when our Lord died on that cross, he died as a sacrifice to purchase and to reconcile men to God. Reconciliation has to be part of that message. The other thing that we must not miss as we present the death of the Lord Jesus is that he died as our substitute in our place. In our place he died. He stood condemned for us in our place. Now, can you picture yourself on Saturday morning as an opportunity opens, and you have your Bible in hand, and you open the book, and you talk to someone, "I want to share the gospel, I want to share with you the way of salvation." And the thing I want to point out is that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he died as our substitute in our place, so that we would not bear that punishment. God punished his own son. Now think of a verse that you might choose where Jesus died as a substitute. Isaiah 53. John 1:29. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Or as in Peter, the just, 1 Peter 3:18, "the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." As you get close to people to talk to them about the gospel, endeavor to mention, to explain, expound substitution. and it will become meaningful, and it will become very helpful. Then, of course, there's payment, that Christ died on the cross to make payment, to satisfy the wrath of God for the broken law, making satisfaction. You could use the example of maybe you're reversing out your car and you dent your neighbor's car. Oh boy. And you have to go and talk to them and say, I'm very sorry, but I just damaged your car. It's not a write-off, it's not that serious, but I want to pay for it. I want you to be satisfied. So you tell me what needs to be done. Do you have a collision, an auto place that you fix your vehicle? Just send it in. Give me the invoice, whatever it's going to cost. And I want this to be right between us so that you are satisfied and I am at peace in this matter. And when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he made payment for us because we were bankrupt. We had nothing to offer. And the Father was satisfied with the payment of his Son in our place. And so we come to the Lord Jesus and thank him for making payment in our stead. Another aspect of this is that Jesus' work was enough, that what he paid was totally sufficient. And that brings me to the testimony of Peter Orasek, the drug addict from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, on the east coast of Canada. He had a tremendous testimony after his conversion. And he told at a meeting how he was dealt with by the evangelist. He had gone to a meeting in desperation, wanting to be saved. Now, there's a long story of how he was witnessed to and how he broke his wife's heart through his life of drug addiction. He sold everything in the home. He sold his wife's jewelry and clothing just to get money for drugs. But he was witnessed to by this Christian, and he ended up going to a meeting wanting to get saved. And the person that was preaching that night took him home after the meeting, brought him into a home and said, you tell me that you want to get saved. And he said, I do. And he said, well, why don't you believe? What do I believe? And he told him about the work of the cross. And he told him about the way of peace with God through the blood. And he said, you know what your trouble is? You do not think that Jesus paid enough. And you do not think that this Bible is proof enough that you can be saved tonight. And that's exactly what his problem was. He did not accept that Jesus had done enough in his death on the cross when he died once for sin. He thought that he had to pay something more. And you know, that story is repeated almost every time in a sinner's conversion. That's where a person has to be brought to. And so as you would stand talking to someone, maybe on Saturday morning, and you say to them, now, you know that Jesus died on the cross. You know that he paid for sin. You know from your Bible that God appointed the Lord Jesus to be the Savior of the world, and God punished the Son that sinners might be free. But do you believe that's enough? That's a great question to ask. That's a great point to bring up. Or maybe you're counseling someone right here in the church who is seeking the way of salvation. Then, there, that's the opportunity to ask him, do you believe that Jesus did enough? and that this Bible is clear enough for you to rest your faith in the Lord Jesus. We need to talk excitedly about the mercy that comes from the cross. If you look at Galatians 6, verse 16, it says, "As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy." And of course, those who have found mercy, they are referred to here as the Israel of God. That's the testimony of every Christian. They have found mercy in the Lord. And as gospel churches, we need a testimony of mercy to sinners, a message for the very worst of sinners in town. And we just tell them the story of the cross. You may be familiar with the historic account of the Moravians in Greenland. And they opened a mission there and they found the natives so ignorant, so dark, that they decided to begin by educating them. The results were so utterly disappointing that they decided to leave. And while they were waiting for the next ship to take them away from the island, one of the Moravians got to translating the Bible into their language. And as he was going over these words and repeating it and reading it to one of the natives, he was reading the account of Jesus' death on the cross. And the native said, "Is that true? Is that the gospel? Is that why you came here?" And the missionary said, "Yes. Well, I will believe. Don't leave us now. This is the message that we need." And so the Moravian missionaries discovered that where education failed, everything else floundered, that the message of the cross could win the hearts of these people. I wonder tonight, could you simply tell the story of the cross? I see some young people here tonight, maybe at school, in your free time, lunch hour. You could bring out a little New Testament and talk to them. Say, "Could I read to you how the Lord Jesus suffered and died on the cross?" And you talk to them about that he was God's lamb. A lamb suffering in our place. Substitution. And explain the term. You know what a substitute is in sports. You know what a substitute is for a teacher. Teacher phones in sick, and a substitute is appointed. They stand in place. You can explain all of those terms very simply. Or you could use a tract, a leaflet, that explains in plain language the story of Christ as a lamb. He is God's lamb to take away the sin of the world. And you're just telling the story. It's nothing complicated. Nothing difficult. And as you leave that leaflet, you say, "Now, can you read that and come back to me with your questions? Or can we talk about this tomorrow?" And you follow up in that manner. Now, whatever the medium, whatever the means of or method of outreach, one-to-one talking, leaflets, bringing someone along to church, you say, "I want you to come and hear how Jesus died as our substitute, as the Lamb of God in our place." Now, as we do that, in a very simple way, let us plead the promises, the wonderful promises that every witnesser or evangelist may take and plead before God. We have that great one, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But the promise is, lo, I am with you always. Now, when we read that, normally we think about somewhere across the seas, some other foreign place, foreign people. But that promise applies to you and your neighbor. Lo, I am with you. And it could be as demanding for you to walk across the street and knock your neighbor's door and seek an opportunity to talk with them as to be a missionary in some other country. And so you pray, Lord, you've promised, lo, behold, surprisingly, I am with you always. And let me tell you, as you step out to witness, you will experience the Lord's help and power beyond your expectation. He will give you words. He will give you strength that's not your own. And you will prove this promise that the Lord is with us. We read in Mark 16:20 that they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now that's what you need, the Lord working with you. That's why we pray. If there's anything that should drive us to our knees, it's this work of witnessing. The Lord working with them. And confirming the word with signs. So they use the word. And that's why I advocate when you go witnessing, take your Bible. Have those select portions ready, marked, ready to turn to. Maybe highlighted that you can discuss them and ask your friend to read them with you. And by that means, the Lord will confirm the word. The Lord will, by his Spirit, drive that word home and make it the message for his or for her heart. Preaching the cross. Talking about Jesus' death, his substitutionary work, his sacrifice. If we merely go and say, I want you to hear about Jesus, or if you ask a person, do you know about the Lord Jesus? They may say yes, and there it stops. You want to ensure that you discuss the cross work of the Lord Jesus who died on that cross for us. And then another wonderful promise is John 12 and verse 32. John chapter 12 and verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This is the operation of the Spirit of God. This is the effectual calling of the gospel. And it's the Lord saying, I, if I be lifted up from the earth. Now, that you can look at this in two ways, that was his death on the cross, literally, historically, his being nailed to that tree, which took place. But also, our work as an evangelist, we lift up the Lord Jesus in his death before the person we're witnessing to. We are like Paul placarding the very name and the crosswork of our Lord Jesus before the eyes and hearts of men and women. And as we lift up the Lord Jesus' name, And as we tell his story, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, he promises, will draw all men unto me. And so you don't go alone. You don't go in your own power, but you go to be a witness, and the Lord will be with you. Now, are you interested in doing that? We have preached through many things this week. We have come to some high points of truth in the gospel, and we rejoice in them. They thrill our hearts. But we need to go. It's time to make that step and that commitment. And tonight I plead with you to become an evangelist. Take a baby step. Start out with something you know that you can handle. And maybe that would be a gospel leaflet. And if your words fail or you feel that you don't get through, you can leave that leaflet and it will speak and speak on. And you get the gospel into that home. And you become a witness by that means. And then perhaps at a later point, you could ask the person, what did you think of the leaflet? Did you get the message? Do you understand now what the Lord Jesus did when he died on the cross for sinners? And then you get a further opportunity to be a witness. And then you could say, would you like to have another leaflet? We can get more of these with similar explanations. And of course, that gives you further opportunities to serve the Lord. But we need to beware of this. We have learned that the secret of soul winning is the message of Calvary. And so we need to be aware that if we do not preach the cross of the suffering Savior, we cannot expect the Spirit of God to work through us. Let me say that again, because it's really the whole substance of what we're on tonight. If we do not preach the cross of the suffering Savior, we cannot expect the Spirit of God to work through us. Now, that would apply to the preacher. That would apply to the pastor. It would apply to the evangelist. If you're speaking in all manner of sundry things, but don't expound the cross and call people to a commitment to understand and accept the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners, and his blood shedding, how can the Spirit of God use our witness? And so we come back to the text, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So on Saturday morning, you don't go to the door and say, hey, I'm a free Presbyterian. And you begin to glory that, you know, this church in Macrofelt is the best gospel preaching church that you can find. And you're really glorying in a church. And you could possibly do the same thing about your minister. And you may be very thankful that God has sent him and you are rejoicing in the gospel that he's preaching in. But your neighbor doesn't need to hear about a man. They may need to come and hear that man preach about the Lord Jesus that you want them to know about. And so you get the point. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get onto politics. Don't get onto the economy. Don't get on down, will there be another lockdown? Now, sometimes there's an introductory general conversation that might help. And maybe you know your neighbor, and maybe the neighbor has been on a holiday or whatever, and they're just back, and you could, you know, break the ice by saying to them, you know, I hope you had a good time when you're away. How was it? And that gets the conversation going. Oh, by the way, I really came to give you this gospel leaflet. And it's about the Lord Jesus that died on the cross. You get to the cross. We must get to the cross in our evangelism. And if we are purchasing tracts or writing tracts or seeking to give out the gospel by any means, make sure they are the full of the cross and of the Redeemer's work. And thereby God can use our witnessing. And so I leave before you tonight this great challenge. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you go? Will you be an evangelist? Will you do your utmost to give out the gospel even in the week to come? This may be the renewal and revival of this congregation. This may be a new beginning for this congregation when everyone in the church becomes an evangelist. You can lift the phone. You can write an email. And remember your own testimony. It's a powerful tool that God has given you. I want you to know that my faith is in the cross work of the Lord Jesus. And I am finding peace every day in the victory of the blood of the Lamb. Could you imagine that message going to your friends? You can spread the news far and wide. That's the work of the evangelist. Let's unite in prayer. We'll ask the Lord to help us in this. Our Father and our God, we come tonight in Jesus' name. We ask thee, O Lord, that you will make us to be effective witnesses for our Lord Jesus. And dear Lord, we want to thank thee that there at Calvary you paid it all. You poured out your life. You poured out your blood. And you made complete satisfaction. And I rejoice tonight that it's enough. It's enough for God and it's enough for me. Oh, my Heavenly Father, I pray that you will write that upon each heart here tonight. And I pray that we might carry that message to our family, our friends, our neighbors, and that they may know, not only that we know, but that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. O Lord, work by your Spirit. Bless every effort, and we pray for Saturday morning as the band will go out. We pray, Lord, that you'll go before them. Open doors and open hearts, and may you get great glory to your name through the preaching of the cross. Now dismiss us with your blessing. Bring us back tomorrow evening with your power and favor upon us. And be with us until we meet again. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.